hello, and thank you all for listening. This is Sex Talk, and this is WRCT Pittsburgh. We're here in the studio, live.
In a mellow tone.
Reaching out to you from WRCT Plaza, keeping it real, and hoping you're feeling all right tonight.
That's nice.
Tonight we have two very, very, very special guests joining us, Chris and Jeff.
So special.
We ride in the short bus.
Special.
Are you yourselves a marginalized minority, and you can't have even the slightest splinter of respect for people who are mentally or physically challenged, such as the kids that presumably write in the short bus? Were you making some kind of retarded kid statement?
I'm just going to the same respect that I give everyone.
Interesting.
Define respect.
Well, I just want to welcome all our listeners to the show and ask our producer to turn down the volume in the studio just a tad. And tonight...
He's busy. He can't be.
The topic of tonight's show is relationships. We have this... where's the book? I've brought from our the official show sponsor, Amazon.com, I have bought The Boyfriend Test by Wendy L. Walsh, How to Evaluate His Potential Before You Lose Your Heart. And this is in the line of The Rules... what other books?
Lesbian S&M Handbook.
Bukkake for Beginners.
To kill your lover.
One of these how-to manuals that purports to teach you through in a systematic and algorithmic way how to evaluate a potential mate. And as people in our listenership know, finding a potential mate in the thorny briar patch of love is a difficult task indeed.
And Nothing says like love, romance, and spontaneity more than a coldly calculated control freak like effort to stalk the perfect mate.
So the way I thought I would structure tonight's show is we have two of the people in the ceremony long term committed relationship, that is Chris and Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, relationship with each other. You've been going involved in a
about almost 2 years, which in straight years is about, 147.
And in gay years is an eternity.
Excuse me. it's about 147.
Yeah, I once heard somebody, actually, I think it was Dan Savage even talking about Batman Forever being a gay movie, and he said they should have nicknamed it Batman for a Weekend.
I think so.
Well, you know. Don't look at me like that.
What I was going to do in a desperate grasp for material was I was going to quiz you two in the so-called committed relationship with quizzes from this book and see just how committed you truly are and compare it with my own co-host, Dr. Sexopoulos' feelings toward me, his co-host. We have a putatively platonic relationship.
But they're smoldering going on.
And yet I'm sensing that... You know, my bathing suit area isn't going to remain untouched for long. Actually, I was talking, before we dive into this, I was talking with a gentleman that I know from facilities management here at Carnegie Mellon, and he asked what the show is going to be about tonight, and I was trying to explain it, and he's like, oh, you're not going to have more gay people on, are you? And this is interesting, because I said, well, you know, it's okay to listen to this show. It won't turn you gay.
Do you actually have evidence that it doesn't?
Well, I was straight before I really started.
I'm not so sure.
Now I just, boy, it's just penis, all the time, pretty much.
So, Dr. Sexopoulos, have you had any gay feelings?
I was here to promote the gay agenda and corrupt the youth of America. You know, if I can't do that, why am I here?
Might as well go.
Interesting.
No. It was a joke.
So it seems like most of this book, I've been looking at these quizzes, most of these quizzes seem to be for the early part of a relationship. The latest it gets is, I guess in a rather gay way, is the 90-day report card. Mm. It seems that is as long as a long-term relationship gets for this woman. And I also note in the back, she reprints some of her own poetry.
Ouch.
I think we should start the show with a little Wendy Walsh poetry.
I'm not afraid to see you go, you're cutest from behind. But one thing I do surely know, if you stay, I'll lose my mind.
Wow.
It's kind of Robert Frost, sort of.
Oh, jeez. Do you really want to hear this one? This is awful.
Oh, of course.
Cool. Okay. Okay.
Wendy Walsh.
But Wendy L. Walsh.
America's Poet Laureate.
Author. America's Poet Laureate, yes. Like, it does not contain the phrase, I am an, you know, an ancient barn, creaking, creaking, creaking. My innocence you took like a thief when it was left unlocked. You hawked and jocked and mocked. You got me in bed. Now I put you to bed. Your rough exterior and hollow interior pushed from my thoughts. Thanks for what you've taught.
Wow.
Mm.
That just screams 13-year-old.
Well, no, I was thinking there's a little
Sylvia Plath fan, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
I was thinking there's a little Ginsberg in there. It was kind of,
I was ready to whip out the drums and
Ginsberg after like 3 6 packs.
Drop some LSD.
Little Jane Austen on acid, upside down in at the bottom.
Yeah. Oh, she does have a bibliography. Anyway, we digress.
So I think we should just
dive in.
Work from the back. You know, my standard technique. I think you should start with the 90-day test, and we'll work from there. So this is again from
the boyfriend.
Are we allowed to say this book is terrible on the air? I mean, sure. This book is awful. Do not buy this book.
Amazon would be glad to give the same review, probably, so people can get a second opinion.
That's my personal opinion, not the opinion of the station or its management. My personal opinion is this book sucks. But
however,
the author is very cute. But
what's the name of the book again? The Boyfriend Test.
The Boyfriend Test. How to Evaluate His Potential Before You Lose Your Heart. Hmm. So do you want to do the 90-day probation score sheet report
now,
card?
Is this book written very similarly to the Cosmo tests? You know,
well, we'll let you be the judge.
Top 10 ways to achieve orgasm while caulking windows.
Interestingly, did you know that so Cosmo had a big editorial shakeup recently, really? And they no longer use the words sex, turn on, orgasm, and so forth in their front page. Mm. Like they've toned everything down. It's a little bit of red book going on.
Wow.
They really toned down the sex, yeah. Huh. So where will America go for its...
What's Cosmo without sex?
I know.
Oh, I think it's just... It's folded into the pages.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're just being a little bit more demure.
Squeezed between the heroin chic Gap ads and, you know, Martha Stewart Doily of the Year Award.
Well, let's see what she's produced for us.
So who's going to be the boyfriend and who's going to be the...
Well, I think you and I should switch off because that represents a relationship. And these two will just be on the hot seat 24, you know, constantly.
Right, but I mean, these are questions that the woman is supposed to be answering about the boy. So in this case, who wants to be the answerer and who wants to be the answeree? Even that's kind of ambiguous. But you know what I mean?
I'm not sure I follow.
So
you are the missing link.
The questions are about one person's opinions of the other.
Okay.
So who wants to be the one holding the opinion?
I will
Chris
talk about Jeff.
Okay. Number one, do his acquaintance... Okay, so by the way, you start with a score of 50.
Okay.
And these questions add or subtract from that score.
Oh, so are you keeping score? Or am I supposed to score...
I think we're making it up.
All right, as we go along. This is good.
Do his acquaintances call you by name? Try to go back into the mists of time, right, when you guys have been going out for 90 days. You've met some of his tertiary world, and they regard you only as a stranger.
No.
His people are quite cordial. His peripheral people call you by name. His contacts treat him with a slight air of disdain.
Oh, God, this woman is so irritating.
You've met nobody in this part of his world? I don't even understand the questions.
This is going to be painful.
Yeah, and we've got, you know, 50. Don't tune out. It gets better. Because the thing is, I know the answer to this question because at day 90 is when you guys had that huge orgy. And so, like, his friends definitely accepted you in every way that a man can accept another man.
That happened 5 years ago.
Don't use my real name on the air. It's against the rule.
Now, calling him bitch or cabana boy isn't really calling him by name now, is it?
What was 5 years ago?
What is your name these days?
Let's just stay focused.
Did my friends treat you with respect?
You had sex with his friends. You all had sex together at Thanksgiving. You went on the air and you talked about this.
So long ago.
I missed that. I met him 3 years too late for that. I'm sorry.
Been doing the show for a long time.
Was it wrong of me?
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
In my opinion, there's no such thing as an orgy that happened too long ago to talk about.
But that was before I knew Jeff. Yes.
Oops.
No, he knows about it.
Yeah, he told me all about it. I met the people involved.
Yes. In fact, yeah, we could have had another one, but everybody is
so. Okay, so you met the people involved. Did they accept you into their. I can't use Wendy Walsh's vocabulary because it's so sophisticated.
It's a hallmark of schizophrenia, I think.
I think for both of us, both of our friends' sets, after 90 days, referred to the other person by their first name. It was never kind of an outsider. I think people were very interested in the fact that we had somebody very special in our lives after 90 days.
Let's talk about that specialness. I mean, whenever I meet a new couple who are still sort of freshly in love with each other and there's all that kind of new relationship energy, I mean, I do my best to have sex with one or the other or perhaps both. Were any of your friends doing that?
Trying to have
sex with one or, I mean, Jeff's friends?
Well, there's one friend of mine who's constantly trying to have sex with me, but that's like a different... That's a whole different story. That's just kind of something that's always going on.
The show is about 10 tangents.
My friends and family had a hard time believing that I was actually dating anyone because I had been single for a decade before I met Chris.
Holy Wendy Walsh, that's a long time.
Yes,
it is. Single, but not celibate.
No, I was, you know, running around. Randy. Picking up the...
Catting around.
Yeah. Dicking around, as it were.
Watch your potty mouth. You know what happened last time.
FCC came in.
Yeah. Picking up the Corys of the world on the street corners.
Who is this Cory of which he speaks?
I don't know.
It's just this random guy.
So let's go a little bit deeper. So your friends were like, oh, Jeff, I can't believe you finally settled down with somebody. You're in this relationship. And
my friends were very similar. My friends were also like, oh, finally you've gone back to men. What's his name? And so they learned his name very quickly because I think all of them were like, well, you know, because I did the man and then back to the woman thing. And they were like, yeah, this isn't going to last. You're gay and you're kind of not really. You know, you're doing this one last final shout. And so they were, I think, pleased to know that I was back in my true calling.
So who's this friend that wants to, is this friend that wants to have sex with you all the time a man or a woman?
It's a man. Well, actually, I don't know if he wants to have sex with me all the time.
Oh, he does.
All right, fine.
He thinks he does. He's straight.
He thinks he does. What? He's straight?
He's confused.
He's a closet straight.
What, sorry?
Forget Wendy Walsh and start probing.
We'll get him on
We've got
show
a man who's
point.
Straight actually, that wants to have damn, sex with him, and you're reading Wendy Walsh's 90-day probation chart.
I'm sorry. I'm so fascinated by her. Alien.
I must call her.
I really think your idea of asking questions out of her book is a good one.
The delivery has to just be, we should be inspired by her book, but we shouldn't necessarily go through the multiple choice.
All right.
Her questions are pretty run-of-the-mill, right? Like, where does he keep your toothbrush and photo?
Okay. Well, we should also allow the studio audience to shout out.
To call in.
Or call in. Yeah, I guess that wouldn't be the studio audience. But.
Well, let me.
If you want to call in to the station and talk to us about the boyfriend test.
Yeah, and
our number is 621-9728. That's 412-621-WRCT.
And
ask for me, Dr. Sexopoulos.
And think of a question better than Wendy.
So actually, this is a question that will be good both for our callers and for you too. When you first, I want to like, let's turn the history now way back to the time when you first met. And you met probably in some like tawdry locale, whatever happened. And I do want you to get into the details of what happened. But at some point, the phone number must be exchanged. It's like, hey, give me a call. We'll have a snack or whatever. So I want you to talk about that first meeting a little bit. And then I want you to think about these questions while you're talking about it. Did he take too long to call? Wendy Walsh wants to know, did he call too soon? Did he call at an inappropriate hour? And does he give good phone? Oh, and finally, did he seem vague?
Wendy is obviously living in a very sheltered, non-email-oriented world.
No, she mentions that later. However.
Okay. All right.
She has a poem about email, I believe.
I don't believe we did not talk before our first date. We talked where we met, which was in a beautiful place. Not tawdry.
The locker room?
No.
Steam room.
It was in the grand ballroom. It was in the lobby of the Carnegie Music Hall. Mm-hmm. You know, the marble one. Yes, it was a buffet, and we just talked. I think I was intoxicated, though.
Actually, the way I remember it was
maybe my memory's not good.
About, 4 or 5 years ago, I laid eyes on you and thought, wow, he's really cute. I'd like to get to know him.
And this is while I was dating the other guy.
Yes.
And had basically no opportunity. And then...
That other guy calls into the show occasionally, by the way. I think he's a listener.
Cool.
We won't mention him by name, unless he wants to call in and duke it out with you.
And
kind of interesting.
But, you know, I just sort of forgot about it. Then many years later, I spied Chris at
computer conference.
SIG Chi.
The Computer-Human Interaction Conference.
Yes.
Notorious pickup ground.
Oh, yes.
Technical conferences are major hotbeds of seething sex at every level. And so I tried to scheme to get to closer to Chris.
And it worked.
I found out about the event by talking to Chris's best friend.
Who, ironically...
is the one.
The one who wants to sleep with me.
Who thinks he does.
Right. Which is kind of funny that he brokered the introduction between Jeff and I.
Yes.
I see sublimation going on.
Yes.
I finally went and talked. Now, this is why your friend is a really good best friend.
Yes.
Okay? I walked up to him and said, you know, I think Chris is a really cool guy. Could you please introduce us? Just out of the blue. And he said, sure, come on. And he took me over to where Chris was. Chris was, you know, a little drunk at the time, which was a very good thing because I was a little dopey at the moment.
But you seemed very together.
I was so nervous I could hardly talk. I'm usually that way around really cute guys I want to introduce myself to. And Chris's friend was just very smooth about the whole thing. So, oh, this is Jeff, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
So, not to drag this out, but we talked, and then Jeff handed me his business card, which has his email address and phone number. And then you actually contacted me again in email 2 days later?
Yes.
2 days.
I waited for
the okay, I
gotta see. 48-hour.
Right.
Hang on while I see what Wendy L. Walsh of Boyfriend Test has to say about 2 days.
Because I considered doing it, but I wasn't sure.
The key psychological issue is whether he's good at delaying psychological gratification or any kind of gratification. Are you?
I haven't been with anyone in 10 years. I think that's a little too good if you ask
waiting
me.
Waiting for gratification.
So could we apply the telephone test criteria?
I think
the
email?
I think you could. In fact, there's a whole codicil on this. But basically, you get...
codicil?
I don't know what codicil means. It's a word. I'll verify
I thought
that.
It was a medication.
An exegesis.
Pardon your language, man. Young man.
No, it's a... she says, see question number two, referring to later in the early in the book. But unfortunately, 2 days is exactly on the boundary between no points and positive 10 points.
Mm.
So 1 to 2 days, no points. 2 to 7 days, plus 10 points.
Interesting.
Wow, 8 to 14 days plus 5 points.
That's ridiculous.
That
is ridiculous.
I'd start getting angry after about 4 or 5.
This woman currently has more patience than I.
Well, as Wendy L. Walsh so succinctly puts it here somewhere.
puts what?
You're lost.
Somebody, someday this could be the man who has to wait months to have sex with you after you bear his child.
Well,
what does that mean? Oh, you mean after you give birth to a child, you're not ready to have sex for a while?
Well, there's...
See, and that's a myth, too. Where is this woman living?
Is that really a myth?
It can be, but it can be fine. I mean, obviously you don't want to go at it the next day, but there have been women who, you know, go at it very soon after.
Months does seem like a long time to wait.
Yes.
For both partners, right?
Wendy L. Walsh, another nail in her coffin.
One of many.
Sounded barely... vaguely Laura, Dr. Laura-like, too, the whole, you know,
she's very
viewing your boyfriend only as the future father of your future children.
Right. Well, this is a terrible,
interestingly, however,
terrible lesson for women.
It says in the blurb in the back, she now enjoys life with her boyfriend and their young daughter. Dun, dun, dun.
Interesting.
Ah.
So this slut is living in sin with a bastard.
That she produced.
I know.
Well, we don't know if she produced. It could be his child.
That's true.
It's because your whole, because your whole getting together has the taint of, you know, corruption and transition. Well, because Chris previously was, your previous relationship to this one was heterosexual.
Yes. Oh, so you turned him gay.
Well, yeah. No, I had been gay and I was turned straight again, and now I was demanding to be turned back.
XX gay.
Yes.
And so, you know. So at the, so there was this like first well so f- there was this electric exchange at SigChi where you're like, wow, I haven't seen you since that last powerfully arousing moment. Well, first let me ask you this question: how can you like meet like this? How can you meet a really hot man at a really romantic place like the opera, ballet? What was it?
No, actually, it was just it was at a reception for the technical conference, which happened to be hosted in the lobby of the Carnegie.
But I thought you'd met once and then didn't see each other for several months, and then you met again. At
well, no, Jeff just cruised me in the locker room, basically. You know.
Oh yeah, well I came, I saw, I was impressed.
Right. Well, he didn't really cruise me, but he gazed longingly, I guess. I was never
working on some kind of gay level that I don't really understand. Can we just, like, have the facts in a linear narrative?
Someone who was checking you out in the shower.
Yes, and I
really?
Was I didn't know.
That is so tacky. I mean, that happens to me all the time. I mean,
was not drooling or anything.
As an elite athlete, people are always sneaking peeks at me, and I'm like, look, you know, I worked hard for this this rock-hard body. If you want to look, you got to pay the piper.
You got to pay to play.
You got to play the flute, as it were. Meow. Yeah. So, the interesting thing about this time period,
out of the
though,
pool, right?
Well, at that time, yes. But what the interesting thing about this
on record as having a giant penis, though, his penis shrunk to only sort of above average size.
I guess
this is the part of sex talk where we begin to talk about Chris's penis.
I've never actually heard anything about Chris's penis before. So
that's amazing.
Really?
I've heard a lot about Corey's penis. Whoever this Corey person is.
Smaller than average. But
I believe on your website it refers to my penis from an earlier show as weapon leg.
what is the URL for our website?
www.
No, it's not. Oh, God, it's not. Don't paint the minds of our viewers. Our website is sextalk.wrct.org. Oh, right. We don't do the triple dub thing because it reminds us too much of George W. Bush.
True.
It'll never work.
As I was saying, the interesting thing about this time was Jeff wrote me an email and said we should get together and talk more about my research.
Oh, please.
You know,
oh,
yeah. And again, that was the big hook. It was like, well, you know, I've got this interesting research. And I had said, you know, oh, I'm pretty interested in it. And I was. You know, he gave this very interesting speech.
True, that our work overlaps.
Yeah, speech about, well, you know,
to
me.
You investigate, like, undamped harmonic motion. Or
exactly. You know, it was like, you know, I'm doing this interesting research. You know, and I said, all right, well, fine. You know, we could get together for coffee or something like that. So we agreed to do this in email. And everybody else that I told about this said, you're going on a date. And I said, no, I'm just going to meet this guy. I'm sure everything's going to be totally benign.
Right. I mean, this is actually what I find crucially interesting because, you know, both from two points of view. Because, like, as an attractive man with an large penis, I mean, you probably do get hit on more than average, let's say. See, I've always wanted to interview on the show and never have. I've always wanted to interview someone of, like, above average beauty, like, actually, you know, in the 99.9 percentile of
gay or straight.
Well, you know,
because I have hot friends, I could get on the show.
Just bring them in.
Tell your co-host that they have a large penis and it's all over.
Right. It doesn't really matter if they're attractive.
So I mean, I find this interesting. Both as someone who's perhaps, you know, invited somebody to do something on the flimsiest of excuses and out of curiosity about what the other side feels like to be constantly hit on, I want to know what was going through your mind. Apparently you were not thinking, this man is inviting me out to coffee because he wants to have sex with me.
No, I wasn't. I really wasn't. I really thought, you know what, he's probably just really interested in talking to me about his research. And everybody else saw through it except me.
Well, and so, Jeff, what do you have to say in your sort of defense, if you will?
Defense.
Was it really about research or was it about some of that hot –
actually,
Italian sausage.
We did go for Italian.
Interesting.
No, actually, I was actually looking for the perfect man, and I decided that I was going to, you know, start with Chris. And, you know, because he was good looking. And I mean,
so why are you laughing?
No, I really
start with Chris. I mean, and
oh, he expected, you know, this is going to be a long journey.
And then trade up as soon as you found sort of the more perfect man.
No, I figured that I would have to, you know, date a whole lot of different men before I'd find one who, you know, fit the bill. Mm-hmm. And I figured, you know, got to start somewhere. Why not this good looking guy? I actually, you know, told myself we are not going to have sex on this first date. You know, we are not going to have sex so that, you know, we have time to listen and get to know each other.
So were you a big fat hypocrite?
No, we had sex on the second date.
I don't know if Wendy L. Walsh would approve of that. I haven't seen a chapter.
She's a slut.
Sex,
I thought we've already.
Yes, yeah,
she is. So,
when you were talking about research and exchanging notes at Chai, did you even know that? I mean, how could you possibly have even thought that Chris was? I mean, he wasn't even gay officially at that point. So, like, what are you thinking about finding the perfect man, having sex?
You didn't even know what my status
was.
It's
so presumptuous.
I thought that you were gay because I didn't know about this woman that came.
Wow, you were totally in the naive stage.
Yeah, because
me and the woman had officially broken up like that month. It was very odd. Like we had broken up like in the middle of that month, and this chai was actually happening like late in the month. So I was technically free for the first time in years. And so I wasn't looking. In fact, I had actually made a conscious decision. I am not going to date anybody for a long time. I am just going to go out there and screw, you know, basically, you know, I'm just going to go to the gym and do anything and everything that comes my way.
Is this making you weep inside?
But then Jeff came along and put an end to all that.
Well, it would be making me weep, but it's all, you know, it's all this like fantastic tissue of lies.
It's not, though. I'm serious about that. I really was planning on doing this big gay
whore.
Sexual whore thing, you know, basically, because
no
I never had a chance
to
do that.
At the gym?
Not at the gym.
Not at the gym, but basically, you know, use it as a pickup joint, you know, and say, hey.
Were you really thinking that?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't thinking
See,
like
this
I
is
really
why your life is so radically different from mine. You know what happens to me at the gym? I go there, I change my clothes, I work out, people look at me with disdain, and then I leave. There's no, like, question of having sex there or anywhere else. Help me
really?
Out. What kind of world do you occupy? So
I'm heterosexual, so the gym has no sexual overtones. Like, the gym doesn't. I don't think anybody hooks up at... I don't think straight people hook up at all at gyms. I don't know.
Seinfeld, Jerry Seinfeld met Shoshana Lowstein,
yeah,
or whatever her name is, at the
Shoshana?
At the gym.
I mean, I swim.
No, he met the woman who broke up with her fiance to be with
husband.
The woman who broke up with her husband. I mean,
a week after they were married. She
excellent. But they met at the gym.
The gym is not the place to hook up primarily.
No,
I mean, unless you, you
just
know.
Happens to be a good place to kind of take stock. In the offering.
No, it's because you're hot and you have like a 3-sigma penis. This is why you hook up at the gym and I don't.
It's not like I walk around with it inflated.
You
inflated?
You know, like
is this some prosthetic device then? Are you lying to us?
No.
Or is
it
a...
no. I mean,
all
it's
right.
Not like a peacock, you know, where I go into full bloom and say, "This is me in my entirety." That's merely a discovery phase that you. Have to earn.
So here's a very
I'm sure I like the way this is going.
This question is very on point from Wendy L. Walsh.
Yeah, not Wendy O. Williams.
Author of the boyfriend test. On your first date or going out for coffee or research inquiry or whatever you will call it, what was his line of questioning about you? Was he treating you, was Jeff treating you, Chris, like a peer? Asking about your job and hobbies with genuine interest and attempting to find synergism in your lives?
Synergism.
Or...
Is that a word?
I don't think... I think we have to discuss... Yes, I don't think Wendy L. Walsh...
French-English dictionary.
It rhymes with jism.
And...
Well, she is a former media personality from Extra and the Weekend Today Show.
Oh, wow. Did Jeff lie to impress you? Did he find too many things in common with you? Did he effortlessly volunteer info about his life? Did he avoid hot topics like girlfriends, wives, and children? And, finally, did he take complete control of the evening, or did he present you with options?
I think there is one thing that we both did, which I think was actually what attracted us to each other, was we both offered unsolicited information about each other, about ourselves, rapid fire.
Mm.
In fact, it was only like 20 minutes into the dinner... Because we were going to go to coffee, and then we decided to go to Il Valletto because it was a nice day, and we were both hungry. It was like, oh, well, let's go for Italian. Mm-hmm. You did lie to me, actually, though. You didn't tell me about your food allergy. the fact that you were allergic to wheat.
Yeah.
And so then you let me take you to like an Italian restaurant where everything is made of wheat.
Although you did get something that was.
I ordered a non-wheat.
The man was willing to go into anaphylactic shock for you. I guess that's worth something.
No, but it was very interesting because like 20 minutes into the meal, we just started talking about gay stuff. I was
rather surprised. Chris took control of the evening, and I was.
Did I?
No, not really. But I mean, it was Chris who started talking, and I decided, great, I better keep up here. So
gay things.
Well, you know, it had been a long time. I mean, I'd been in this straight relationship, this very unhappy straight relationship. Well, it was happy initially, and it was happy probably for the first year and a half, and then the last.
Yeah,
year
we interviewed both of you on the show. Longtime listeners know the horrid carnival like. Freak show that was your relationship with
yes
with what's her name whose name escapes me unfortunately.
Yeah. But anyway, the point is that I was just out of this straight relationship, and it was like, here's this person who's gay that I can talk to about being gay, which I really had realized at that point, this is really where I need to go from here. Like, this, I'm not going to go back to women. And so it was this perfect opportunity, this captive audience. So it was like, gay.
Well, let me extend a thank you on the behalf of all straight men that you've taken yourself out of the dating pool.
Yes.
Like,
well,
one less good-looking guy with a huge penis is better for all of us.
It's better for all of you.
Yeah, really. Wow, that's a good point.
Well, you know, we go over this every time, but it's crippling, you know. Like, I was a virgin until 22. Because of this penis.
Well, see, I mean, this is why your whole philosophy is inconsistent, because you claim that you can't find. I mean, I told you, I personally, I'd be willing. You know,
test subject.
I'd be willing to be your test subject. I mean, you may have found some wimps who can't accommodate your large penis, but believe me.
Well, remember on the show a few weeks ago, right, when we had the lovely and charming Elle Kirshner talking about her prom date.
With the giant penis.
Right. Really? She was all prepared to, like, do the deed on her prom night. And lo and behold.
Couldn't do it.
Well, didn't want to. And then, fortunately, couldn't, thanks to alcohol and other things. But, like, the mere sight of it
was just, like,
kind
of
horrified
God.
And frightened her.
Yeah. I tried with four different women before
That's amazing.
I finally found one who had
wow.
had enough sex by that point in her life. That, yeah. But I kept, you know, of course, most of those other women were, you know, high school virgins. It's like, let's lose our virginity together. Not going to happen. So, anyway. But,
wow.
So just, you know, think about that, you know, when you're.
It's the dark side of having a large penis. I mean, it's not all, you know.
No.
Pounding nails into oak planks with
it. No, it isn't.
Wendy L. Walsh has a follow-up question. Who picked up the check? Did he allow you to pick up the check, or did you split the check?
We must have split the check.
Interestingly.
And her conclusion, I'm sorry, I just have to jump in. Her conclusion is either he thinks you're not worth impressing or he's a gigolo.
Right.
Laser-like logic of Wendy L. Walsh.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but that's part of the heterosexual dating thing that I never did figure out.
Like why the guy should pay?
Yeah.
Oh, chivalry. It's a 50s holdover, Victorian holdover.
Yeah.
Like, although it's functionally, I found that the what actually happens is basically, okay, the first couple of dates the guy pays for, unquestioned, right? But after then, it's usually whoever asks the person out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if she calls me to go to a concert, she pays, and then I'll buy drinks or something. So there's this kind of reciprocity thing going on.
But if you pay, you're getting laid, right? You know, I mean, that's
unfortunately, that part of the bargain died out.
But that is actually, that's a stigma in a straight relationship. And I know women who are actually very hesitant to let the guy pay, even on the first dates, because of the expectation that, well, you know, there are a lot of guys who are like, I paid for dinner and a movie and all this stuff. I better get some.
I guess so.
And by the end of the evening, she's just absolutely petrified because she's watched him shell out all this money on her. And she's thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to get myself raped here because I let this guy pay for everything. And he's now thinking that I owe him. So, anyway.
Well, what these men don't understand, what perhaps you don't understand, and only Wendy L. Walsh does understand, is that this is basic science. The man is trying to awe you. He is wired unconsciously to compete for resources and to display resources when attempting to mate. It's basic science.
He's being an objectivist hero, you mean?
God.
If he deviates from this behavior, he has some screws loose. don't wait around to find out which one.
Either that or he's a graduate student and has no money.
I bet Wendy is an objectivist. I bet she's a big Ayn Rand freak. She's got copies of The Fountainhead in every room. So, anyway.
I did have a friend, however, whose girlfriend like hated to split anything. It was she didn't mind paying, but the whole idea of them splitting the check just drove her spare. Never was quite sure about why.
Too much. Maybe there was too much independence implied, too much separation involved.
Perhaps, yeah.
That does, you know, does kind of throw a suspicion is how secure is this relationship if we aren't totally codependent.
Yes, we spend a great deal of time joking with each other about, certain mutually dependent activities that we're not doing.
Man sex?
Oh, well, we do that.
And that's definitely requiring two-player.
At least.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had enough of the solo for
I hear you, brother.
But
I want to just jump in. You have a thought? 621-9728 is his phone number. Get out your little pen. Write it down. 621-WRCT.
Even better, get out your phone and call it.
Yes.
Tell me your evil thought.
So are we continuing with any of this quizzing?
Wendy L. Wallace has harshed my buzz. And
yeah, she doesn't seem to be.
I was actually had a question about, unless you were about to say something, I had a question about, there's this kind of famous Woody Allen, and it's in Annie Hall, it's this movie where these people are having this conversation, and it also reveals what they're actually thinking. So here you are, you're at dinner, you're talking blah, blah, blah. So Chris is babbling away like gay, blah, blah, blah. You're talking about your, like, absurd research. What are you really thinking? Are you thinking, man, I'd like to just boil them down
spread them on toast?
Toss
them. I don't know. First, I thought you said thinking? Boil him down. I was thinking some kind of silence of the
what
lambs,
were you
like.
Thinking during our research date?
Exactly. And
our
so,
very innocent research
date. And as a man who's been here, I mean, let's be honest. Let's get down to the core of what's real here. I mean, I've probably, like, hit on, 1,000 straight men in my life. And turn on the charm.
Wait, that can't be.
Well, you were 909.
Like a week for 20 years.
Isn't that like Magic Johnson?
No, it's more like 20 a day for however long.
Toll booth operators.
I'm sorry that you're all arithmetically crippled, but let's say,
That was correct.
Right, but one a week, I can do much more than one a week. It's probably one every couple of days. So that's, 150 a year, 10
you're
years.
You're not actually engaging in date-like conversation with these people, are you?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It always fails. Like, I turn on the charm, I get all funny and cute. Like, I act like super interested in their, like, whatever tragic little thing they're doing. And, of course, it never gets me any sweet, sweet nookie. And so.
Well, maybe the problem is the fact that you said, as you said earlier, hitting on straight guys.
Well, but this is exactly.
Better with gay guys.
This is exactly what was going on at Il Valletta. You had this man.
Yes.
Oh, please. Deny me just a river.
No, but I mean, I was clearly advertising. Look, I was straight. It was kind of ironic that my ex-girlfriend drove by in my car during
while
this
we
date.
While we were sitting there.
I was sitting there. I was like, look, there goes my car. That's the woman I used to date. And kind of rolled my eyes because that was just part of the problem was, oh, God, she's driving my car. She's in my house. Like, we're still living together. It's a very touchy situation.
What was I thinking?
Well, so,
yeah,
but if
I want to know what he was thinking.
If I were in your business, I would have been thinking, I've finally won the lottery. I've, finally, all my years of, hitting on straight guys, I've finally, hit the mother load. Mm-hmm. If I play my cards right, I mean, were you thinking, geez, I can't screw up because, at any moment he could turn straight again and reject me?
May I answer the question, please?
Well, were you cool? Were you supremely confident? I'm just, this is very important. Yes, you may, but if you lie, I'll know.
it was a combination of several things. The main thing was that I was sort of stupidly besotted. I was saying to myself, okay, I know I'm fantasizing here. I know I'm going to get let down, but I'm going to go
exactly.
And believe it anyway that,
the power of positive thinking.
The beauty of denial. that this guy is intelligent, gorgeous. He might be the one.
Big penis.
I didn't even know about that.
You can tell, believe me. Dr. Sexopoulos, 7.25 inches.
I wish, sister. Only if I'm in the vicinity of a black hole. Space and time are stretched.
And so am I. Anyway.
That's the pepperoni has in this pie.
So you were thinking you were going to get let down, but you were fantasizing anyway?
I was sort of letting myself be swept away in my sort of my stupid crush Dom, knowing that it's fun and at least I would have a good date. The other thing I was thinking is, you know, this guy's pretty interesting, and my God, he's sharing quite a lot.
Is he drunk again?
So the oversharing wasn't a red flag?
The oversharing, actually, when he was talking about his ex on what was, to me, our first date, that was a big red flag. But I thought, you know, he's...
Wendy L. Walsh would probably agree.
Wendy L. Walsh would not have approved of how I was speaking.
I knew it was a big red flag. However, I wanted to hear it because I wanted to know where he was at.
Jeff had the beauty of witnessing the destruction of my last relationship as we were beginning our relationship.
Oh, wow.
Which is actually a very helpful thing for somebody to witness so they know exactly what pisses you the hell off.
There are certain things I never do around Chris.
Yes, because he got to witness what happens when you do them.
Like borrow money.
Lots of money. Greasy, greasy gobs of money.
Wow, interesting.
Anyway.
Well, we shouldn't shy away from that topic. That sounds a little bit juicy. So you're saying you...
Okay.
I was reading a little Wendy L. Walsh.
She's compelling.
That's reading some of her poetry while you're talking, so I only caught a glimpse.
It's the huge font that she uses that just draws your eyes in.
But, I mean, all these popular books are like that. I mean, every book that my mother tells me to read, for example, is inevitably, like, giant font, double-spaced.
Reader's Digest for the Blind kind
of thing. And you can imagine, like, the outline that the author had when he or she wrote this book had, like, one item. It's like a Deepak Chopra book, like, you know... You are the universe. The universe is you. And I'm going to write about that comment. You know, that observation, I'm going to stretch that out into 500 pages. I mean, I'm a busy guy. Mm-hmm. My point is, Wendy L. Walsh is the...
Our point is...
She's a moron. She's a slut.
Yes.
How can we take her seriously?
Actually, I had that folded back to something. I wanted to mock her for a moment.
Oh.
What now was the point, though?
Oh, so the thing that you're while he's looking for this observation by Wendy L. Walsh, you said there were certain things that you know not to do because they were so painful in his previous relationship. You mentioned borrowing money. Do you mean borrowing money from him or borrowing money from anybody? Like, are you opposed morally to borrowing money?
Borrowing money from him. Because
interesting.
Him got badly used. And
so even like, you know, can I have a quarter to buy a Pepsi?
No, not like that.
I mean, we're actually pretty loose with money, but not like larger sums of money.
Mm-hmm. As long as it's in the, you know, the double digits.
Yes.
Yeah. Triple digits, no.
Interesting.
Quadruple digits, definitely no.
So that's still a trust issue.
Mm-hmm. One can understand, right, if you've been burned badly by that in the past.
Well, also, he makes a lot of money, and I'm dirt poor.
Interesting.
And so... to keep our relationship, you know, on an even basis, we need to each live on our own money, which means he has to downgrade his lifestyle.
It's so
from the playboy, you know, money-soaked existence that he had before.
Cocaine-fueled.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
Strippers,
heroin. It's crazy.
All these expensive habits, you had to give them all up to be with me.
I still have very expensive habits.
Yes.
I still am a playboy. Jeff just stays at home.
Yeah, he goes off on ski trips and things.
Wow.
But
I'm a big, it's not important.
But, you know, I had issues also with fear of being dependent, fear of people being dependent on me, you know, from some family history I had. So, you know, the last thing I wanted to do is be dependent on anyone. Good heavens. Ugh.
Such is love.
So I wanted to interject a couple comments here to mock Wendy L. Walsh further. One of them is one of these questions about the pre-relationship, right? You have to quiz yourself.
Pre-relationship.
You know, have you clearly defined your dream relationship? And she begins this chapter by saying, as Kevin Costner's character learned... in the film Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. This applies to boyfriends, too.
Okay.
Read on to chapter 3, and I'll teach you a very pragmatic way to design a man to suit your needs. So this woman currently lives in some twisted fantasy world.
Is she talking about, like, I can change him?
No, this is like you construct some imaginary boyfriend.
In the template, you just fit some guy on it.
Her belief seems to be that if you don't have this man perfectly visualized, you can't fall in love. Interestingly, you guys moved way too fast, according to her. Don't sleep with him for at least 6 weeks.
Oh! 6 weeks!
Who's the whore now?
Me, gladly. 6 weeks.
Wow. Date at least 3 months before you utter the boyfriend word. Well, that's interesting. Who was the first to say boyfriend and when?
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. It was a while before we started saying the L word.
Oh, well, yeah, but L word is like a totally different thing. I mean,
that's
you can
a
have
much
a
larger caliber weapon.
Yeah, you can have a boyfriend without actually being in.
So who said boyfriend first?
I don't remember.
I don't think we put a lot of stock.
I definitely think by 6 weeks we were both using the word, though. Oh, definitely. By four weeks we were definitely using the word.
Yeah, but it took a little while. And the L word took, what, 6 months?
No.
4 months?
Three.
Okay.
Three or four. No, I was definitely totally enamored with you.
And long before we used the L word, you know, we were just pathetically besotted.
It was disgusting. It still is, but
it was
we're
just
really
nauseating.
Trying to keep it under control.
It was nauseating for everyone around us, and I loved it.
It was retribution.
Pet names, you know.
She also says to date at least a year before you decide to move in.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that she said
she
that
got
I
it
actually
right. By accident,
agree with.
Probably. But
yeah.
Do you guys live together?
We do now.
How long until you moved in?
11 months. But it was only because it was convenient on the lease.
Right.
He couldn't stand it. He had to be with me.
No, it was really a lease issue. I had said from the get-go that I wanted to live alone for a year and not – because I had always lived with people. And it was for 11 months I did. I lived alone. And then it just so happened that his lease was ending and mine was almost ending and it was the beginning of a summer. So,
luckily, when you get to be my age, you know, you can be more patient. Yeah. You know, a year goes by quickly.
Yeah. Here is an eternity for me. Well, what am I, 19?
Yeah, I'm 63.
Anyway, DJ, you seem perplexed.
Wendy L. Walsh has like battered you into a coma or something.
Crushed your spirit.
I'm trying to penetrate.
All right.
So we've talked about the first date. Let's talk a little bit about the second date and the sex. I mean, I'm wondering, you know, the first date was all like, oh, la-da-da, I like computers, you know, you're so neat. And then you like after the end of it, you're like, gee, this was fun. Let's see each other again. The question is, did you kiss at the end of the first date?
No.
So it was all very.
You dropped me back in my office.
So it was all very businesslike and quasi-friendly. Mm-hmm. And then you probably said something casual like, gee, wouldn't it be nice to do this again sometime?
Yes.
And then you exchanged some, like, you know, you waited.
Were there?
No, I'm a master. You don't understand. I'm a master manipulator of the. I mean, I wouldn't have achieved international media stardom if it weren't.
That's right.
If I weren't a sophisticated student of the human condition. So I know exactly what happened, even without you telling me. And so Jeff probably waited, like, exactly, you know, 24 to 36 hours.
I would say more 3 to 4 day range.
I actually triggered the second date, didn't I?
Interesting. So one of you sent an email and you said, hey, let's have what? Coffee? Dinner?
Dinner.
Dinner.
Dinner and show.
Show?
It was me.
What show?
Oh, this is great. You know, this is totally me, too. Because there was a woman coming into town named Cheryl Wheeler, folk singer from New England. I'm from New England. She's just fantastic. Absolutely, like, bitter, angry. Folk singer, big hit with a lesbian crowd, although she's not lesbian. But so she sings like a bitter, angry lesbian, so they all love her. And so I was like, let's go to this show. And it was Girls Night Out, the YEP Girls Night Out down at Rosebud. So it was even more perfect. We were like two of six guys at a concert of about 100 women. It was really, really special.
I'm going to start going to these folk concerts, I guess.
Well, I mean, there really wasn't slim pickings for straight men, let me tell you, because probably like six gay men and a bunch of lesbians.
Let's sexualize it.
But anyway,
continue.
So the
let's
point
not box
is,
in.
I triggered the second date. We went for Indian food and then had more of this lovely chatter and got to know each other even better. And then we went to the show and talked the whole way through the show, really didn't even pay much attention to the music.
Interesting.
And then Jeff says, what did you say? You were like, well, or... Are you tired, or are you ready to...
We were driving home.
But home was not determined yet. We got in the car, and we were aiming towards the...
Right, mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I'm not really ready for the evening to be over.
Mm-hmm. Isn't he sly? And then you said, should we go?
I don't know. When do you
where should we go? And I was then the one who said, well, what about your place? Because, of course, my place had the X in it. That certainly wouldn't have been cool.
I have to take notes here. I'm not really ready for the evening to be over. And the reply is,
where should we go?
How about your place?
And then I was, I couldn't even believe I said it. The words were kind of coming out of my mouth. And I'm like, what did I just suggest? How about your place? So we do. We go to his place.
Mm. You put on the Gladiator movie?
Which is this nice little, exactly, Bette Midler CD. And,
but if I recall correctly, Jeff, you didn't live alone either.
He had roommates.
Horrible little trolls padding around.
But he had the third floor
of
his house, which is private.
Yes.
Which, of course, he swept me up to.
And I had made the place beautiful.
It was pretty. It was very made his
I had read in a book about was the
husband boy, hunting.
Husband hunting made easy for
by Wendy Walsh or perhaps one of her
male version
literary predecessors.
And it had said in there, you have to have a nice place to come back to, which is true. So it actually made sure the place was spotless.
And he didn't look like a poor grad student. You know, he really kind of dolled it up, you know, made it look like, you know, wow, this guy's actually pretty legitimate. You know, he's not totally living at the edge of poverty.
It's because I had big plants and a clean floor.
Yes.
That's all it takes.
So anyway, so there we are, chatting.
You're a gold digger. I mean, I can't – what is all this obsession with his finances?
Well, no, you have to be –
I don't want to hear your defense.
Wendy Walsh would agree with him.
Yes,
well, he just got through being soaked for a while.
Right. I mean, here I was, you know –
All right.
Five figures in debt, basically, from the financial holocaust that was my last relationship. You know, going, crap, okay. You know, what am I going to do here?
I got to speed up the tone of the,
anyway, you
the tempo
the
here. I want to hear about the sex. So you're like, nice apartment, love what you did, you know.
So how do you go from showing him the plants to, like, showing who's in the pants?
I don't know. It was really weird. It was kind of like...
I think by then, I remember it in sort of this weird purple haze.
Mm-hmm. We just started talking,
and we started talking about more gay stuff, and I think we even started talking a little bit about sexual history. And then it was like, okay, well, we got that cleared out, which is very important in a gay relationship, especially as you're approaching that moment. It's like, well, how many people have you really slept with, or what has your sexual history been? Yeah. Like, be open with me, because this could be very dangerous.
Right, right.
If it's like, well, I slept with four or five guys last night at the bathhouse, you know,
yeah.
You know, and unprotected.
It's all kind of a blur after I passed out.
Exactly, after I passed out, I woke up with a rear end full of seminal fluid.
Shoes
and whatnot.
Anyway, so the point is that once that was out of the way, it was like, you know, okay, runway cleared for takeoff. You know, you're ready to go from the cockpit, so to speak, and we went.
It's interesting. While the biology was going on the first few weeks, the sex was stellar. You know, I mean, there's hormones everywhere. Your upper brain was pretty well throttled. I became a lobotomized happy person.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's... It's that easy, Corey. I mean, Coriopolis. Coriopolis is a town outside of Pittsburgh.
You've blown my cover. We're actually out of time. The hour, as usual, has flown by.
People must have just been so stunned they couldn't call. Wendy's poetry, pretty much.
Sometimes the show is that good.
Can I end it with a Wendy?
Please do.
Walsh quote. This is a affirmation she's giving to the sisters out there who are reading this book. You are a goddess. You are a giant ovum poised to take applicants from speedy sperm. If there is a mutant sperm who has lost sight of his mission or who is fragmented with too many ovum to attack, then he is a reject.
Wow.
This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you, Wendy Walsh. Tune in next week, and good night.
Happy ovum.